Oh, that's the wrong one, right? You said 50. Well, let's do that one again. I already told him. Okay. I didn't see your numbers.
Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Jesus to Calvary did go, his love for sinners to show.
He gave his life, brought hope from despair.
Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me.
Page 50. We're in the gray book. Page 50.
Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love.
Let's sing that again.
Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love.
The measure
of our Father's.
Page 40. God will make a way.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way.
Page 133. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Start over, Mary.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father, of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to see everybody here this morning. Do we have any visitors with us today? There we go. Welcome. Glad to have you with us. We'd like everybody to register your attendance in the little folders and pass them across. And if you have any prayer concerns or celebrations that you would like to share with us, you can fill out the little blue slips in the pews in front of you. The ushers will pick them up during our first hymn. You have a little page of announcements in your bulletin, and we have a lot going on the next couple weeks. Today we have, in lieu of potluck, our ladies have prepared a pulled pork lunch for us, with coleslaw and beans and a lot of dessert goodies, and everybody is welcome. It's by donation today. This is a fundraiser for the women's group. $8 a plate. Kids are free, so everybody needs to stick around for that after the service. Also this week, Tuesday, we have an ad council meeting at 5:30, so all of the committee chairs need to be there. Instead of Heidi the Heifer this month, we are doing the donation for the Heifer International. If you didn't get one of these boxes, there's still a few out here on the table. This is to raise money for Heifer International, which is a program to supply domesticated animals and agricultural training to depressed areas, so they can become self-sustaining. Great project. These are all due 1 week from today. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, so bring your donation boxes back. We are going to have a Good Friday service on the 30th. That is not this coming Friday, but a week from then. And Judy still needs some speakers for that. So if you'd like to help out with that program, Good Friday service at 6 p.m., get a hold of Judy real quick, and she'll give you a part to work on. And we, of course, 2 weeks from today is Easter Sunday, and we will have a sunrise service starting at 7 in the morning, followed by breakfast here, and then the regular service after that. You need to be here for that, because our choir has got some pretty good music to share with you all for that. Also in your bulletin, there's a sheet here that's an order form for the Easter lilies. If you would like to purchase some lilies to decorate our sanctuary here in memory of someone or to honor someone, fill out this order form. These also need to be brought back by this time next week so we can get the lilies ordered. And that's about it. Of course, we are doing communion today, just like every Sunday for Lent. And that brought me in mind, Paula's not here with us this morning, but you can relay this to her when you see her. What did the grape say when it got stepped on? Didn't say anything. It just let out a little whine. Okay, enough of that nonsense. Okay, so let's go ahead and prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning. Thank you. love those good old songs, Old Rugged Cross.
We're going to sing a song.
Oh, yes.
Please stand together as we sing Holy, 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 page 64.
Did not want to suffer and die. It is written, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the God who was able to save him from death. Although he was a son, he learned obedience in the school of suffering.
When he calls us to take up the cross and follow him, there is abundant joy in his presence. But there is also discipline and self-sacrifice. With my whole heart, I seek you, loving Lord. Let me never wander from your ways.
Most holy and most loving God, by your Spirit, unclutter our hearts and minds this day, and make within us a larger space for Christ.
May we glorify you in the totality of this service of worship, and be better equipped to glorify you in the common dailiness of this new week. Whenever discipleship proves costly, help us to embrace sacrifice as readily as we accept our many blessings. In his name and to your praise, amen.
You may be seated. Please turn in your hymnal to page 410. This one may be a new hymn for some of you, but let's give it a try today.
Join me for our confession. Let us return to God, who will have mercy and abundantly pardon. Let us pray.
Most mysterious and loving God, we come before you, not as those who are perfect practitioners of Christ's method, but as those who have sincerely admired him, yearned to be like him, yet have only applied truth fragmentary ways. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sins. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore in me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with the willing spirit. Through the grace of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Now, if the children will come forward, Miss Lisa has our moment.
All right, I'm going to spell a word for you. F-R-E-E. It's one of my favorite words. What does that mean? Okay, what is it? What's the definition of free? Or what does that mean? What does free mean to you? Okay, what if I said it was a free gift? What does that mean to you? No money. You don't have to pay any money. So that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? A free gift? Well, I have some free gifts in this bag. Let's see what I've got in here. And if you come a little closer, I'm going to get you to tell me what's in this bag. What's in that bag? Okay, it's not just a newspaper. It's last month's newspaper. Okay, do you think anyone will buy that? Is it worth anything? Not even a penny. No. But it's all wrapped up pretty. So I've given you a free gift. Is that kind of disappointing? Yeah. Oh, and let's see what I've got here. Oh, okay. How about this one? That is an empty shampoo bottle. But it's wrapped up pretty. Now, it's really not worth anything. No one would buy it either, is it? But it's wrapped up pretty, and it's a free gift. And I would think you're probably not very excited about that one either. Okay, this one, well, look in there. What do you see in that one? A cookie, but it's a half-eaten cookie and a half-eaten piece. And what if I told you the person that bit that cookie was probably sick when they bit it? So are you excited about your free gift? Yeah, I wouldn't be either. And the last one, I know Jeannie's going to love this one. Tell me what you see in there, Jeannie. Okay, I cleaned out my hairbrush this morning, and there's a piece of dental floss in there. It's used, and there's one knee-high hose that doesn't have a mate. So is that anything that you would use or be excited to get as a free gift? No, no. But they're all wrapped up really pretty, and, you know, you'd get excited about it. All right, I actually do have something. If somebody will come and take this one. I actually do have something. Oh, look, look. There's a string attached to this free gift. It's a phone, and it works. And it says, buy one for $75, get one free. Not very much fun, is it? And you really don't want that phone because it's got... I'm so sorry. Okay, so what have we kind of learned about people advertising you these free gifts? It's not always anything of value. It's not something that you would want. Now, even the string attached, that's kind of like a trick that they use in marketing, and sometimes they call that the fine print of a contract. So you don't really know what you've got. My point is that the world often tells us or tries to sell us things that seem pretty, or they use the word free. And in reality, they're not. Sometimes they want us to think that things are important. What you see on television are new vehicles, people in sexy clothes, drinking alcohol, and all the people in the movies are generally rich, pretty, young, and we're supposed to believe that that makes us happy or that that makes them good people. But what I want to ask you, do you think what the world values is what God values? Well, how do we know what God values? He tells us in His Bible. That is His word. Now, the Bible tells us that we are worth more than the riches of the world. In Peter, 1 Peter, it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now, that word redeemed can mean paid for, like we pay for items at a store. And what it means is that Jesus paid the price for our sin. He sacrificed Himself for us, and He saved us from the consequences of our sin. And that is called grace. There's one more little verse about grace that I wanted to read you. And, I guess that one was it. Let's see here. Okay. Well, it says that we are saved through the grace of Christ, not through our own efforts. So salvation is not something that we can buy or we can earn, but it was a free gift from Jesus, and He loves us so much. It's the best gift that we can ever get, and it will never disappoint you. So when you're looking at the world and seeing people are offering you something for free, you think about what it's really worth. And so let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for offering Yourself for us on the cross and paying our bill so that we never have to worry about being separated from You for our sin. Thank You, Lord, for loving us so much and for blessing the church with all of these wonderful families and the children from these families. We thank You so much in Jesus' name, and help us to do Your will and look at things that are offered to us in the world as free. Let's look at them differently and compare that to the wonderful gift of Jesus. Thank you.
Would our ushers please come forward for the morning offering?
Please bow your heads. God, in our light and salvation, your forgiveness brings joy and gladness. Thank you for welcoming us to worship with open arms. Thank you for inviting us to follow Jesus as disciples who love you and love our neighbors. Keep us close to you, for in your presence we live. We dedicate ourselves and our offerings to you. Let your will be done by your Spirit at work in us, a part of the Church of Jesus Christ, your Son. We ask this in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Be seated. Our prayer requests this morning include to be praying for Mary Richards, who's home today. So we're glad that she's home, but we need to keep Mary and Dick in our continued prayers as she deals with her diagnoses and the way that she and her family need to treat her illnesses. So for Mary, let us pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And also, I'd like to ask you to pray for Marty
And for myself this week, not because we are going to get in trouble, but because we're both going to have a cataract surgery this week on Tuesday. Now, she's having one eye done, and I'm having the other. So between the two of us, you've got a whole person here. So don't worry. But we request that you'll be praying for us both this week and the next as we get both our eyes done. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We also have a prayer request this morning from Chuck, who asks us to please pray for his niece, Jessica Compton, in San Angelo. And Jessica is having multiple seizures, and the doctors are not able to find a solution. So for Jessica, we pray, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Also, we are asked in Scripture to pray for those who are in authority over us and for the leaders of our country. And there's been some craziness going on this week that we definitely would like to be in prayer for. So let us go to God in prayer. And what we'll do at first is have some silence so that each of you can pray in your own way for all of the leaders who are over you in any capacity. Let us pray. The real bottom line, Lord, is we pray for your will to be done in all things. We pray for your will to be done in our country. We pray for your will to be done all over the world because, God, we know you love every single person on this planet as much as you love any one of us. And so, God, we pray for peace. We pray for kindness. We pray for goodness to be released all over the world, Lord. We think of children who are suffering in refugee camps. We think of the elderly who are hungry. We think of those who are fighting diseases, both curable and incurable. We think of people who are suffering from mental health issues. Lord, help us all to lift up our heads and see ways that we can be part of your healing to those around us. May we be the beginning of a tsunami of goodness that goes out from this mountain and pushes all over the world. Holy God, we also pray for the leaders of our church, specifically the bishop and the cabinet, as they make selections for the new pastor. I pray for the leaders of this church that they make wise decisions that are in harmony with your will and way so that we can be who you want us to be here. And now, God, we think of the people on either side of us, behind us and in front of us in the sanctuary this morning, and we lift them up in prayer to you. May your peace and your mercy and your love be lived out in each of us. And now we're going to rest, truly rest, by letting go on these words as together we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now we begin to make our small little moves toward the enormity of Holy Week. Next week, when we come together, we'll be waving palms and shouting Hallelujah and Hosanna. And then we will be dipped into the tears and the sorrow of the suffering Jesus. So we're going to have communion today. And as we share in Holy Communion today, there's going to be some silence because it's enormous what Jesus went through, and it's enormous what we have been given. because of what Jesus did. Now, this whole thing of the Eucharist is a time of thanksgiving. So with thankful hearts, we come now to this table. So I'm going to ask you to be in silence as I prepare the elements, and I want you to be present with the things that you are thankful for. Notice this small little box. Carol Anderson takes communion to those who are shut in. We'll be taking communion to Mary this week. We'll be taking communion to Lynn Skinner. And please tell Carol if you know anyone else in our community, doesn't have to be a Methodist brand of Christian. We'd be happy to take God's food to feed them. And so the little box is on the altar as we prepare and as we pray. Also, if you'd prefer to take communion in your seat, we will serve you there. Just let us know. Glenn will come around to serve you in your seat. And I do have gluten-free bread for those who need it. So what you'll do is you'll come down the center aisle, and you can stand or kneel, either one, at the altar rail, and you'll be served. Just request the gluten-free bread when we come to you. Now, let us go to the food that Jesus made just for us. On that night when Jesus sat down with his disciples, he said, "Remember me," just as the choir just sang. And he took bread and he broke it. And there was enough food at that table for everyone, just as there is today. Enough for everyone. Take, eat, and remember what Jesus has done for you. He also lifted a chalice, quite a bit larger than the small plastic cup, and there was plenty for everyone, just as there will be for you today. And he said, "Drink, remember." And it's a sign of God's new way of being with us, and that is that we're all forgiven. So as you eat and drink, remember. Now I ask those who are worship leaders to come, and I'll serve you. Mary, this is the body of Christ. Eat and remember. Ed, this is the body of Christ. Eat and remember. Glenn, this is the body of Christ. Eat and remember. Judy, this is the body of Christ. Eat and remember. Remember, this is the cup of your salvation. 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 Let us pray. Holy God, I ask you to bless the bread that's been broken and the wine that has been poured, and make it be a time of eating for us today so that we remember what you did for us through Jesus. And with hearts of thanksgiving and gratitude, may we receive this food. Amen. And now everyone is invited to come.
Jesus, broken for.
Let us pray. Holy God, we have been fed your holy food, and now we are going to be fed by your holy words. May we take them into our hearts in the same manner that we just took your food in. Bless our eating today. In the name of Jesus, amen. So where is your pebble? What is she up to today? Well, listen to this scripture. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, Ephesians is one of those books that you could pretty much rip that one out of the Bible and take off and just use that as your handbook from now on how to live a Christian life. And Paul's big concern in Ephesians is about how the individual people are living such that there is a strong and vibrant church that is created. So listen to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Well, so right away, there's a question. What is our calling? What is the calling that you have received? Well, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, which is a bunch of Gentiles who are new Christians, and he's interested, like I said, in their growing in the Lord. So his idea of a person's calling is Jesus has called you, all of us, into a life of walking with him. So live your life worthy of the calling you've received. And then he goes on, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And then go down to verse 11. So Christ himself gave, and now he's going to list a bunch of different kinds of gifts that people have. And it says Christ himself gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? To equip his people for works of service. So all the little gifts that each one of us have been given to us so that we are equipped for works of service. And why do we need to be equipped for works of service, Paul says? So that the body of Christ may be built up. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So once again, I'm asking, where's your pebble? We're going to get to the metaphor in a minute, so hang on. Now, writing to Ephesus, Paul's primary concern is the health of the church and the health of the individuals in it. In our reading this morning, he says that this growth is our response to the calling that we have received. For Paul, that calling is to be Christ's own and to be part of the church, which then extends Christ's ministry. So the calling that we have received is to be building up this church for the purposes of moving outside our walls and being a meaningful presence in our community. This week in my daily Bible reading, I came across a verse that I thought was really cool. Listen to this. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads through every single one of us, spreading in every place the fragrance that comes from knowing him. That means we're all a bunch of stinkers. It goes on to say, we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Just who we are. We are the aroma of Christ's love to everywhere we go. Have you ever walked past somebody just in a random crowd and go, ooh, wow, they've got on good cologne, right? Well, that's who we are in our community, is that fragrance, that aroma of God's love being present in the community.
What we fail to see is the church is God's agent, Christ's body at work in the world, even the fragrance and aroma that is sweet and attractive and enhances appreciation for simply being someplace because a Christian is in the room. Listen to John chapter 3, verse 17. 17, not 16. You've got 16 memorized, but it keeps going. This is what 17 says. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Oh, yeah? How many of you were raised in some other group that taught you that God was condemning all the time? John chapter 3, verse 17, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. But how does Christ save the world? Certainly he saved the world through the cross. And certainly he continues saving the world through the church, through the individuals in the church, as we go out and be that sweet aroma in the community around us. I read a book on church revitalization, and it asked a question. If your church ceased to exist, would your community miss anything? Okay, let's think together a minute. Anybody want to toss out something that our community would miss if we ceased to exist? A preschool. Yeah, that's right. Lenten luncheons. Because that's all the churches come together for that here. What else?
Boy Scouts.
I'm sorry, what? The cantatas that we put on, absolutely.
The Living Last Supper.
Somebody said something back there. Our choir.
The bells.
Yeah. And you know what? Yeah, Mike.
A wonderful place to worship.
Absolutely. We have wonderful facilities that we share with the community all the time. And I think one of the things that you're overlooking, remember, you are all stinkers. I mean, you are all the aroma or the fragrance in the community. How about those of you who work at the museum and keep it going? How about those of you who work at the co-op? How about those of you who serve in city government?
And play golf.
We must not skip that one. All right. I believe that God has called this particular group of people to have a particular ministry in our community. We really have wonderful facilities to share. And, you know, recently we had the T-coil hearing loop installed so that people with hearing aids can hear better in this facility. I look forward to things like baccalaureate and the Easter sunrise service that all the community comes together in this place. People will be able to hear better here, the only place on this mountain. In fact, I'm fairly certain the only place in Otero County that has a hearing loop installed. In her best-selling book, Traveling Mercies by Anne Lamott, she explained why she made her son go to church with her when he was growing up. And listen to Anne's story, it's important. She says, "The main reason is that I want to give him what I found in the world, which is a path and a little light to see by. Most of the people I know who have what I want, which is purpose, heart, balance, gratitude, joy, are people with a deep sense of spirituality. They are people in community who pray or practice their faith. They follow a brighter light than the glimmer of their own candle. They are part of something beautiful. Our funky little church," she goes on to say, "is filled with people who are working for peace and freedom, who are out there on the streets and inside praying, and they are home writing letters, and they are at the shelters with giant platters of food." Then she says, "When I was at the end of my rope, the people at St. Andrew tied a knot in it for me and helped me hold on." Now, Anne's background is she was raised in a family that was totally drug and alcohol addicted. She spent most of her adult life also alcohol addicted. And she found her way into this little community, and they gave her a way to hang on when the going was tough. When my friend Jean and I got off the cruise ship last week, brag, we got onto a bus that was to take us from Galveston over to the George Bush International Airport to fly home. And we were some of the first on, and so we just sat in the second row of seats. And when I sat down, I noticed that the woman on the row in front of me was sitting by herself. She'd made sure of that. She piled all of her junk in the seat next to her, and she was crying her eyeballs out. I couldn't let it pass. So I reached between the seats and I tapped her on the shoulder and I said, "I'm a pastor. Can I help you?" And she cried even harder. So I figured that meant yes. So I got up out of my seat and went up and sat down next to her. And for the next hour and a half, I heard a woman tell of her life, and she was at the end of her rope. Her husband, on the first day of the cruise, had taken off his wedding ring and thrown it at her and said he wanted a divorce. Trapped on that ship for the next 5 days, all she could do is cry and live in abject fear. Now, this was a wealthy woman who had been a kept woman, and she didn't know what to do. As she poured out her heart, she says, "I believe in God. God is my rock." And then the next sentence would be, "I don't know what to do. What am I going to do?" She didn't have a worshiping community. She had not been to church in years, but God was her rock. She was missing out on something that God had for her, and that was a group of people to surround her with all of their different gifts and talents and abilities to help advise her and hold her up in a time of great trouble in her life. She needed a place where she had a knot to hang on to. Well, she asked me, "What do I do when I get home?" I said, "Well, you're going to walk in the door." And that's important when you're feeling overwhelmed. And I said, "And the first thing you're going to do is put your suitcase down and you're going to pet your dog." She had told me how much her dogs meant to her. And I thought that'll help her get her grounded and help her realize she's home. And I said, "I have a question for you, and I want you all to remember her name, Kimberly, K-I-M-B-E-R-L, and she said with two E's, L-E-E. "Where is a church, the closest one to your house?" And she said, "Well, about two blocks from my house, there's a little Presbyterian church." And I said, "Promise me you're going to call them this week. You're going to ask them if they have a divorce recovery group. And you're going to go to church the first time they have services." And she said she would do that. Now, I'm praying for that church. I'm praying for Kimberly. And I'm asking you to join me in praying for Kimberly. We are a place of resources and gifts and talents that God put here because people in this community need it. Don't keep it a secret. Let people know that there are God-loving, Jesus-loving people right here. And do you know what? They will come to church if you invite them on Easter. And guess what's coming up? Let's pack this place this Easter. Because there are people out there who don't have a rope to hang on to. And you are that rope with a knot on it. So my prayer is that today you'll be proud of the gift that you have. Some of you are detail people. Some of you are big picture people. Some of you teach children. Some of you are great with numbers. Some of you are great with music. All of you have something to offer that makes this be a place of nurture for someone outside these walls. So let us pray. Holy God, I come to you today on behalf of this church. I personally am awestruck by the talents, the abilities, the gifts, the fun things that people like to do. And I just know that you have something amazing in plan for us as we grow closer to you and closer to each other and become the knot at the end of the rope for those who are lost and alone and hungry and hurting. I pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now let's sing together.
Please stand as we sing in the Faith We Sing book, page 2173, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Fill this land with the Father's glory. gifts that we have in our church include acolytes. And they are going to lead out with that blazing presence of the Spirit for all of us to follow. Now, here's what I suggest. I suggest you go out that door so that you can be in line for the food. Does that sound like a good idea?
Good idea.
And remember that the munchkins are free, so y'all just go get in line and enjoy this wonderful meal that the women have prepared for us. Would you look in your bulletin? And there is a benediction. Now I want the two sides of the church to turn toward each other, okay? And so what you're going to be doing is you're going to be giving each other these good words, okay? All right, so look across the aisle as you say these words. Go forth knowing what God requires. Go into the world seeking opportunities to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. And now listen to this prayer for the meal. Lord, would you go with us as we eat together and fellowship together? Will you bless the hands who prepared all this meal? And Lord, bless the work, the mission work that the women are doing from the proceeds of this meal. And now we love you and we praise you and we thank you that you chose us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You girls go first.